In 1947, Bud Wilkinson comes on the scene for Oklahoma University. His first season was pretty successful.
Yeah, I was really not involved with OU at all in any capacity, just as a fan in those days.
That first year, I think they went undefeated.
We listened to them on the radio. I didn't go to the Air Force till 51, so this was before all that. I was just a fan like everybody else in 47 and all that, 48, 49, all those years.
He brought OU their first national championship then in 1950.
Right.
And still you're kind of distant at that point.
I'm just like anybody.
Just like anybody else.
Yeah.
But you are doing Norman High School football games.
And basketball.
Why is that a tie to Bud Wilkinson?
Well, Bud's two sons, Pat, who was a fullback, and Jay, quarterback, played for Norman High. I think to this day, and I don't know, I never did ask Bud before he passed away, I think maybe one of the reasons I may have gotten the job in the tryout was Bud was used to listening to me. When he couldn't go to the Norman High games, he'd listen to me on the radio because his two sons played for Norman High. I think that probably gave me a little bit of an edge. But when I got that call that I had been selected, can you imagine how that feeling was? I called my dad. Dad, I got the job. I got the deal. The first game I did for OU on the OU network was in 1961 at South Bend, Indiana. OU versus Notre Dame, when they had Daryl LaMonica, Nick Bonacani, those guys. You talk about being scared to death. First game ever on the OU network, OU at Notre Dame. Wow. After the game was over, I called Dad. How'd I sound? How'd I sound? I was running. You did fine. You know.
How did you find out that you got the job for
OU? Got a phone call.
It wasn't Bud, was it?
Well, I think it was his assistant.
Yeah.
Called and said, you've been selected. Absolutely unbelievable. Almost fainted.
Isn't it true that Bud would have some of the national sports writers to his house?
Yeah, that was very common in those days for coaches after the game to invite writers primarily to the coach's house. Can't imagine Bob Stoops doing that now. Not bad-mouthing him, but that was just a tradition. He said, you ought to come over to my house after the game. Well, there was Red Smith from the New York Times and Howard Cosell and several other here. And I'm a 30-year-old kid and first year doing OU. My eyes were big as saucers. In Bud Wilkinson's kitchen there right after the game is an amazing memory.
Well, as you look back, and you must have felt it then, he liked you. Bud Wilkinson liked you. Otherwise, he wouldn't have invited you to his house.
Well, like I say, that was sort of a tradition.
Talk to us about Bud Wilkinson, about his personality. What was it like to be around him?
Bud was one that had the aura of somebody one step above everybody else. I don't mean he was conceited, but he just had a star quality about him. He was kind of gaga. He'd walk down through the campus at OU and everybody just sort of stare at him. He's just almost a godlike figure. Not, I mean, that disrespectfully, but he just had that aura about him. I don't know how else to say it. And he was not a, hey, Bob, how you doing? That type thing. He was just very friendly, but almost untouchable. By that, I mean, you didn't just run up to Bud and do a quick interview. I mean, you had to kind of go through a little ceremony to make an appointment and all that. Nowadays, Bob Stoops has a news conference, as all the coaches do, during the week sometime, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and their place is packed. In those days, Bud would have his news conference at the Student Union. Maybe there was 15 people there. Just amazing. Even doing all the
all his success?
You know, there were just maybe the writers from Oklahoma City and Tulsa and a few of us broadcasters, and it's a lot of students.
OU went 12 seasons without a conference loss?
Yeah.
Why do you think there wasn't more attention? There was attention nationally. The nation knew about this.
Well, that's why it became famous, because of all that. But there wasn't all the television and newscasts and 8,000 different networks and websites and so forth like there are now.
So you beat out some known names to get that job. And you really believe Bud got used to listening to you.
I should have asked him. But I went to Oklahoma State for 18 years and then came back. And when I came back, I happened to see Bud at a gathering in Oklahoma City. I said, Bud, I'm back doing OU. And he said, that's where you ought to be. I remember that quote. 18 years later.
How much were you paid then for your games?
Oh, gosh, I don't even remember. I don't recall. It wasn't much. But now it's pretty good.
Right.
It's gotten much better. I really don't remember. Something like $100 a game, some ridiculously low.
But you would have done that game for nothing at Notre Dame in 1961, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'm sure. I would have paid them.
This was a time when Texas was beating the tar out of OU, wasn't it?
Right, mostly. Bud ended that, however.
Tell us about how he did that.
Well, he just kept getting Texas players, recruiting Texas players. You know, people talk about OU having so many Texas players. Everybody has Texas players. Texas is the largest state in the union with more high schools, For example, this is not exactly correct, but Texas has something like 4,000 high schools. Oklahoma has maybe 1,200, maybe, high schools playing football. So, of course, Texas has most of the recruits. Everybody in the country recruits out of Texas. So just because you have a bunch of Texas players doesn't mean Oklahoma's bad. It's just a smaller state, and that's true with most states. So Bud's recruiting, his successes, and, of course, Texas was in the Southwest Conference. So we had the Big Six and the Big Seven and the Big Eight and finally the Big 12. Texas, A&M, they weren't involved. Baylor wasn't involved. I mean, Bud went to Texas and got the players he wanted.
He must have been an outstanding recruiter.
Oh, tremendous.
I mean,
if he were sitting here right now, you'd have your mouth open listening to him. He just had that ability to spellbind you.
Wasn't he out of Minnesota?
Yes. He was All-American at the University of Minnesota. This is not exactly correct. The basis is, but during the war, there was a Navy base here in Norman. Navy base, north and south. North, in fact, some of the buildings are still there. Bud was at the Navy base in the Navy during World War II, and Jim Tatum was at the Navy base. Like I say, some of this is faulty, but it's close. And after the war, Jim Tatum became a coach at OU. OU football had been regionally successful. Snorter Lester was the coach, who was a funny man. He was a Rotarian, which I am, and he's a great coach. But anyway, President Cross, the president of OU, wanted to upgrade football. I mean, he didn't sit down and say, I'm upgrading, but that's what the idea was. And Jim Tatum became the coach. But Tatum was from Maryland, and he wanted to get back to Maryland. He didn't want to mess around at OU. So he told President Cross, y'all to name Bud Wilkinson coach.
Because Bud was an assistant at that time.
Right. Bud was an assistant to Jim Tatum. So that's how Bud got the job here at OU, from Jim Tatum. And then one other thing I should mention, the big thing that put OU on the map nationally was Blanchard and Davis. In those days, the Army team and the Navy team were really great because everybody's in the service, so they were the great athletes. Blanchard and Davis, Mr. Outside, Mr. Inside. Army was number one in the nation every year, and OU played Army in a big battle, and Army was expected just to wipe OU off the map, and OU darn near beat them. They lost 21-14, and that put Bud Wilkinson and OU on the map. OU almost beat Blanchard and Davis. Wow. From that point on, really things went straight up for Bud.